Welcome back to the Godly Young Men Podcast, episode 126. We've got a very timely episode for you guys today.
Yep.
Talking about social activism. How much should young people participate, specifically, of course, godly young men, participate in kind of being really active socially, you know, social justice and really protesting things and being all for, like, supporting different causes. We kind of live in a very socially conscious, you might say, time, Joe. Obviously, 2020 was not that long ago. We remember the Black Lives Matter movement, all the protests that took place there. More recently, you have the riots that are going on in Los Angeles, California.
ICE riots. Yep,
the ICE riots and just crazy stuff going on out there. Before that, it was kind of the Israel-Palestine debate.
It seems like they've ramped up in the last 5 years. Like, there's a lot.
Well, and there's something different every time,
right? Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Something different.
Women's reproductive protests. You've got climate protesters. Of course, people protesting the Supreme Court decision to uphold Tennessee's rule about not allowing basically trans surgery for minors. And they can't, you know, basically can't transition a 12-year-old anymore in Tennessee. The Supreme Court upheld that. And so, yeah, a lot of protests going on. And, Joe, you're right. Like, over the last 5 years, it really does seem like it's amped up. But just to kick you off, because this was something that it was originally Joe's idea. I think, was it a request? I can't remember if it was or not.
No,
it's been
I
on our mind.
It's just been on my mind, yeah.
What kind of stuck out to me was this is very much a lot of young people are kind of into this. I will say, not as much young men. I think Gen Z being a little bit more based as far as males go than females, this does seem to be even – anecdotally, like people I follow, like women, for some reason, Gen Z girls are a whole lot more socially conscious, active about this stuff than young men are. Some people might think that's good. Some people might think that's bad. But regardless, I would say young people over the last 15, 20 years, it was millennials there for a while, are very social, you know, very socially conscious. So any thoughts on that as we get started?
Yeah, it does seem weird. Like, I was thinking about this. Maybe I was completely out of the loop. I was just shelter homeschooler or something. I don't remember this being a big deal growing up. Like, there's Tea Party get-togethers and things like that for the conservative end. People were always frustrated at one thing or another, but it seems like anger has really ramped
tension
up, specifically
has risen.
Probably since Trayvon Martin, you know, but specifically since COVID, for sure. Things have really, like, tensions have risen. And you think about the emotional debate, like, it almost forces you to take a side. The Israel-Palestine thing, like, they really try to, social media tries to suck you in on these things, and it forces young people to have to take a side on one thing or the other. Well, it, you know, it's the putting black on your social media for Black Lives Matter, for June 10th.
Blacking out your profile picture, yeah.
Yeah, blacking out your profile picture. All of those things where it's intended to pull you into a discussion that, by and large, is, like, this ain't my discussion. Like, I don't know. I don't really have a part to play in this. I don't really care on either side, but they force you to care. And so you have a lot of young people that don't really know how to engage with these things. They don't really know the other side all that well. They're kind of being told what they need to be up in arms about, what they're so angry about. Social media really is driven off of anger and fear and things like that. So it's just gotten a lot worse.
You know, one of the reasons, Joe, why I think maybe this drives young people a little bit more? Who do young people look up to and idolize more than older people? Celebrities.
Yeah.
What do celebrities always, you think about COVID, I got so sick in COVID of seeing every celebrity in the world basically come out and pro-mask, pro-vaccinate, pro-BLM, white people basically. Young people are following these people, not to name drop, people like Taylor Swift, you know, people, athletes. I love LeBron, but LeBron was, you know, always very left-leaning in his commentary.
Socially conscious. Unquote.
Young people follow those people. Oh, yeah. Young people idolize those people. And so if they come out on social media and say, you guys really need to care about this cause, what is the young person? I really love this person, respect this person. I guess I'll really care about it. And that's where a lot of this comes from.
The Kardashians, whatever. I remember Tyler Joseph from 21 Pilots came out with that tweet that was, you know, everybody keeps asking me to use my platform. And it's been a while since I busted out these bad boys or something like that. And it was him in platform boots. And it was a joke because it was right around BLM.
He
got flamed for it. And he had to come out and retract it and issue an apology and sorry, you know. And of course, I support this. And so it's like even and I think things are changing. We've talked about this on Think Deeper. I think things are actually changing. But there for a while,
it was silence.
It was
violence.
Yeah,
too,
exactly. Thing, yeah. And so even when he posts a joke, which I thought was hilarious personally, he gets flamed for it. Like you get sucked into the discussion and you have to support something as a celebrity. And as you said, it's been proven now that like more Gen Z, they would rather be famous than rich these days, I think. And which is actually a really sad thing when you stop and think about it. Like you would rather people know who you are. Well, that speaks to your parents and everybody else don't really know who you are. But either way, this is a young person problem. They trot out somebody like a Greta Thunberg or whatever. young person. It gets everybody involved, and all the old people go, oh, wow, look at these young kids that are so involved in these things. You look at all the campus protests that take place specifically surrounding the Israel-Palestine situation, and they parade these young people everywhere. And the sad thing is the young people don't realize, like Greta Thunberg, they don't realize they're being exploited by the older, you know, the George Soroses of the world and things like that. They're being exploited as pawns to push these causes, and they're blindly following it. And so, Will, I have a question. We're going to get to some 7 different points that we think is important. But before we get to that point, I had a question that I don't have any notes on this. I'm genuinely curious your thoughts on it. Like, why do you think not only they get sucked in, that's a social media thing, why do you think it appeals to so many young people to get involved in something like this? How do you go to a campus and everybody on campus seems to be getting involved in these things? Like, why do you think it appeals so much?
That's a really good question.
From a social activist standpoint.
I've got several answers. The celebrity one was one answer that I had. Okay. I apologize. I should have looked ahead and seen that that was a question.
That's a big part of it, yeah.
I do think the idolization of celebrities plays into that. I think 2 other things, though. One is young people, specifically if they don't have a Christian worldview or don't have God, they do want purpose.
Right.
They do want
That's what I wanted to get into.
They do want something greater than themselves that they feel like they need and should fight for. And so, again, if you're not a Christian, you don't have a Christian worldview, you look around and, you know, what is there to fight for? It's stuff like this. It's climate change. Like, that was the big one there for a while. It's protecting the environment, save the turtles, and all this stuff. And then
anti-oil or whatever.
Yeah, and then maybe it's LGBTQ stuff for some. Like, I guess seeing an issue, a concept that's greater than themselves gives them purpose that they want to fight for that. So that would be one answer. I'm curious. I'll save my other answer. What thoughts?
That was exactly where I wanted to go with this. Is I think people are looking for something to believe in, and they're looking for something to get behind. And the amazing thing is, God's like, yeah, I know you would. It's called the church. You know, God already built this in for us
called
to get
doing
behind.
Good for people.
Yeah, exactly. To get behind a cause that matters, to get involved in something that's bigger than yourself, to have purpose that drives you to something more. That's the church. That's what we're supposed to be involved in, but in a godless society that pushes the church aside, there's that. But what's number 2 for you? It's interesting.
Well, so I'm gonna do 2 things. I'm gonna steal man, like I'm gonna give young people some credit in one instance, and then also kind of come around and slam them on the other side. So follow me for just a second. The first thing I'll say is I do think it is noble. I think that tendency is noble. Like it's good. I think it's a good thing when young people overall, obviously depending on the activism they're promoting, but I think it's a good thing that young people care about something bigger than themselves. They're not just content to play video games the rest of their life, or I don't care about anybody else. I just want to get mine. Like, obviously that's not good either. So I want to applaud and kind of speak a little bit to the nobility of that position, that young people do kind of want to support something bigger than themselves. That's the positive side. The negative side, and this is where I will, you know, kind of slam them a little bit, is I do feel like young people and older people as well, if you want to live basically without any moral restraint, sleep with your girlfriend, look at pornography, do things you're not supposed to do, you can feel a lot better about yourself if at the same time you're doing that, you're involved in all these social causes,
right?
Online or like whatever. Like, you don't feel as bad about yourself, right? Again, if you're sexually promiscuous, if you are, again, just doing things you shouldn't do, but man, you are supporting saving the climate, or you are supporting women's reproductive rights, or BLM, or whatever. I don't know. It just makes you feel a little better. You feel a little more self-justified, and so that's the cynic in me, I guess, that thinks kind of subconsciously young people, again, and older people, can just, man, to kind of make up and justify their poor personal moral decisions, let me go get behind this cause to make myself feel better.
That is a great point. You look at that Barna study that was done at this point, I think 2015, it's been a while. They need to update it. But the Barna Covenantized study, where they proved that young people think not recycling, they rank that as worse than looking at pornography. And so, of course, in a world where going green is everything and not recycling is a sin, basically as close as you can get to a sin in a postmodern world, then the activism to go out and try to save the planet, save the turtles, you know, the people that glue themselves to famous paintings and things like that, just all sorts of stuff, or spray painted, it's horrible stuff. Yeah. That's exactly it. In a world where sin doesn't really exist, you have to make up your own sin. It's still a religion. That's what people don't get in the postmodern kind of, hey, everything goes. It's still a religion. It's just we're now worshiping celebrities instead of an actual God. And, you know, we are like the rites of passage are bowing down to a certain subset of people, a certain group of people, or whatever it is. It's still religious based. And that's what people don't get around or can't get around. You know, but when you think about this, the activism, the other piece of this is I think there's a legacy piece. I remember watching Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And they had an episode or two where his aunt comes, and she was like a friend of Uncle Phil and Aunt Viv's, comes over, and she had been big part of like the LA riots or whatever back then, and really pushing, and even in the 60s, for social justice and such. And it was such a, like, man, you were there. You got to, yeah, I marched alongside Martin Luther King Jr. And it was a real big thing, and you could tell it was a point of pride for them that they were in it. And I think there's a part of this where these people think they're going to look back on it and be like, I was a big part of that ride.
That movement.
You know, that movement, that really mattered. And it's like, yeah, but Occupy Wall Street, anybody? Remember that movement where everybody went out? And so maybe I shouldn't say it started with COVID. I remember Occupy being a big deal, and everybody goes out and in their tents, and we're going to stay there until things change. Like, yeah, going to be there for a while. Well. Yeah, going to be there for a while. But either way, I think the ability to create legacy, like instead of having kids.
Leaving a mark on history.
Correct. Kind of, instead of having kids, instead of raising a godly family and making your own mark that way and being a big part of your community, of your church and things like that, we would rather make a mark by going out into the world and doing something like that where I was at that riot in 2025. I was in L.A. and I was fighting next to so-and-so who's a big deal in 30 years. Like, you know, and that's something that they're proud of rather than, hey, I had a wife and kids and got started. Because all these kids are, I say kids, they're my age. They're 25, 30, 35 years old that are out there. A lot of the millennials, some of the Gen Z that are out there, some of the 20-year-olds. And so they have a long life ahead of them. But it's also kind of like, yeah, but you should be starting on your life. It's not a bunch of 15-year-olds. Like, you should be kind of getting ahead of it. And so for us as godly young men, we realize most of our watchers are probably not out there looting stores and rioting and everything else. On the other hand, some of these pieces of advice are going to be pretty basic, pretty understandable. Some of these we hope gives you something to think about.
Well, and you got on here, John. I appreciate it. Like, it's not wrong to get involved in a cause. Right. It's not. I'm going to go ahead and get us in, Joe, because we're already 12 minutes in and we haven't gotten to any of our points. Yeah. We're going to have to
go real fast.
1-2 minutes per point here. But I'm glad Joe's got that on there. Like, we're not saying you can't support anything or that it's wrong or just, again, like, don't care
about anything. Buddy duddies, yeah, exactly. Don't care. Like,
nothing like that. But point number one, you cannot support a cause that is antithetical to the Christian worldview.
Right.
You just can't. And there's a lot that are. Unfortunately, I would say it's most of them. So what we've got on here, like, if you just really want to get behind the trans movement, sorry, that's or the any part of the LGBTQ movement,
right.
You can't support that. Women's reproductive rights, which is code for I want to be able to kill my child in the womb. You know, that women's reproductive rights sounds a whole lot better, right?
I want to kill my
child in the womb. You can't support that. BLM, I'm sorry, that's not popular at all. Black Lives Matter, that movement itself is antithetical to the Christian worldview. You want to hear more about that? Maybe we'll do another episode on it. But yeah, like, you cannot support those causes. Other causes, right. You know, I'm not, to, you know, if you want to be on the other side of the immigration debate or climate change, like, I think there's biblical answers to that. But I don't think if you support global warming or something that that's necessarily antithetical to the Christian worldview. The ones that I just listed very much are.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I was going to make the Israel-Palestine point. That's going to come with number 3, I think, on our list. But there are some things I think you can, like you said, that can get involved, but so many of these, as you spoke to, the majority of them, I would say, just avoid them. Avoid them altogether. You need to know what are the main tenets of this cause. So even something like Black Lives Matter, like, we're saying they don't, we're not saying Black Lives Don't Matter, we're saying All Lives Matter. Well, that's, you can't say those things. But then you look at the movement. You want to know, do your research on these things.
Yeah, the foundation of the movement.
Correct. You want to know the foundation of the movement. Where does the money go? Who, you know, what exactly is this? And so you look it up and it's Marxist ideology and such. Yep. So those things, you want to be very aware of what you're supporting when you get out there. It cannot be antithetical to Christianity. Number 2, activism and protest isn't wrong, but it must be done in a Christian way. We don't have to spend very much time on this. We already spoke to this.
This should be pretty self-explanatory.
The rioting, the looting, the
burning stuff down.
You know, burning stuff down, the cussing with the, you know, putting signs out there, vulgar signs and screaming out obscenities and all the stuff. Like, there's so much anger. We as godly young men, obviously, like I said, we don't need to spend time on this one that much because I don't imagine you're going to be the type that does that. But yeah, we want to be very aware that our Christian witness is on display wherever we go. And so if we're going out there and we're joining in these things, are we saying things? Are we doing things? And the people we're around, it's going to look like we approve of everything. So if you're involved with these riots and you think that, okay, maybe I'm just protesting, we're out there for a regular protest and then it just goes crazy and people are getting arrested and everything else. Like, if you're down there, you are going to get implicated in something. Well, I didn't do it. Okay, well, you're surrounded by a bunch of people that did.
Yeah.
Number 2 is, you know, other Christians that potentially see you down there and other people that see you down there, that might be a stumbling block as well. So we just need to be aware of our witness, Christian witness, wherever we may go.
I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Yeah.
You remember the Colin Kaepernick protest? It's so crazy to me. I was working with somebody who just started at Chick-fil-A. He said he was born in 2010. I was like, what? Born in 2010?
Working at Chick-fil-A? Like, aren't you four?
Yes, exactly. But it got me thinking, like, that was crazy. In 2016. He would not remember the Kaepernick protest. But anyway, that was a huge deal.
Man, all these protests. So I'm sorry, just to backtrack. Apparently the protest has been going on for a long time. Sorry. I'll rescind my former statement.
But, like, Kaepernick made waves in the NFL because he kneeled in the national anthem.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? Not to get into that, but like that, would that fall into this category of doing it in a Christian way or a non-Christian way? Obviously, I completely disagree with Kaepernick's entire ideology. I think kneeling during the national anthem was disrespectful. But, I mean, he wasn't looting stuff. I don't know. That just kind of came to my mind.
If
like,
there is a way to do it, sure. You know, would I kneel during, if they ever came out with a trans, they have a flag, right, for the LGBTQ and trans community and whatnot. And they mix BLM and everything else. This is weird. I don't know why all those things go together. Would I kneel to that, like, if they were doing that? Yeah. So,
yeah.
Though I think he's wrong, and I think he disrespects the troops, I'm with you.
Disrespects America and all that.
Disrespects America, like, all of that. Yeah.
I'd rather him do that than
I was going to say, I'd rather that. Unfortunately, that sparked some other things that were kind of crazy. But by and large, as a silent protest, I don't think you could say that's wrong. Because I was trying to think, actually, while we were on here, like, what is the Christian way to protest? Because number four, I'll just get us to number four. We'll skip.
Skip number four. So this is number four, and then we'll go to number three.
Yeah, so we'll make this number three, which is slacktivism is not legitimate because it doesn't really cost you anything. Getting online on X and just, man, I'm really mad about this situation. Okay, well, I did my social justice cause. Like, you know, I changed my profile,
your virtue signaled is what
profile
you
picture to black, all black. Okay, you know, I guess it tells us where you support, so to some degree, maybe that helps. But by and large, the slacktivism where you get online and you just rage on everybody and talk about all these things, man, that isn't really a legitimate form of protest, in my opinion.
You're not really doing anything.
Right, exactly. Writing a think piece, my brother, he's an amazing writer. Writing some of those things, I think, can be really good because it is informing and it's showing where you stand and maybe another side of the picture. But there's also a level of, like, and this is just people in general, not just, you know, young men and young women, but like, why should we care what you believe about something? Everybody's got to have a take on something. Like, man, this,
like,
is what,
why
I
is your take important?
Right. Why are you adding to the discussion in the least? Well, no, not really. You're just kind of a shill in this situation. You are coming in, being easily led astray and really exploited and used by somebody else to come in on social media and post this. Slacktivism is what it's called, is not really a legitimate form of protest. Yeah. So, but that opens the question, going back to where we were, what is a Christian form of protest? So I'm kind of putting you on the spot, I suppose. I was racking my brain as I was writing this outline, like, maybe the kneeling.
Well, let me do the opposite form of, like, you know, I know people who will go to Planned Parenthood in protest of abortion, so protesting the correct thing, but they don't yell at anybody. They don't
praying
scream
people,
at anybody.
Yeah.
They, of course, are not throwing rocks or anything. They're trying to stop people. They're trying to pray with people.
I love it.
You know, there might be signs. I haven't ever been to one, but, you know, my family actually has. And so that would be my answer, is it's very peaceful. You're not screaming at people. Obviously, you're not doing anything that Christ would not do in a normal setting. But you are kind of letting it be known, I disagree with what's going on here. I am actively protesting against this. Again, the kneeling thing. Like, yeah, that would be my answer.
I don't even think picketing is wrong, per se. If you were to do an anti, I know somebody, my brother was talking about this, somebody and is trying to organize one for Nashville for anti-LGBT, basically anti-Pride Month, for Christians to get together and to do it. And then they'd march and maybe have their signs or whatnot. I don't think it's inherently wrong. Where it goes wrong is all of the things that take place usually during it.
Sure.
Pride Fests are horrible. The rioting, the looting, things like that is not good. I don't even think that's wrong. I personally, you have to think about this as a godly man. You have to think about, maybe the temptation is to get really involved in a Christian one like that. What's going to happen while you're there? I have a wife and kids. I can't go there and, you know, have all the pride people, you know, all the LGBTQ come up against me and they're throwing stuff and who knows what. Like, while you're there, you have to be thinking about these things. Is this a place I want to be? So even though I might join the protest and I might very much agree with protesting Pride Month, you do have to think about, not just as I talked about the Christian witness and whatnot, but you have to think about, is this safe? Is this a safe place? Especially if you have a wife and kids, getting protesting at the expense of that can be really, really dangerous.
Yeah, and we'll get into that more too with number seven.
Yeah,
would
true,
say.
True, true.
But I'm gonna go and get us into number four. It was our number three. We'll make this our number four, and that is know the other side. Essentially, be able to steel man it. Like, if you're protesting something, you really need to make sure that you are pretty well informed on both sides.
Right.
When I was in high school, we did Lads to Leaders. If you're Church of Christ, you'll know what that is. If you're not, you probably won't. But basically, like, it was a program for where you could learn how to speak better, lead singing, and then debate was one that I really, really enjoyed. I felt like it was really educational. But what they do is they'd give you a statement, and you would have to learn to argue both sides. And you'd have to learn to argue both sides very well. If you wanted to succeed, if you wanted to win, you had to do well on both sides. I think very similarly, if you're going to go out and protest something, but you're, you know, well, what does the other side believe? I don't really know. That protest rings hollow. That's kind of a shallow thing. Because what you should be protesting is, I know what the other side believes, and I am firmly opposed to.
Right.
I could not disagree more. If you're not really sure, or you know, you're just kind of strawmanning the other side, that protest is, again, kind of shallow.
I was thinking about the Israel-Palestine in this situation. How many young people on campuses went after and did the whole pro-Palestine thing? Okay, you know, and I don't know enough to really take a side, and I think that's the point, is there's a lot of people that don't know enough.
And yet they're giving their take anyway.
And yes, exactly, they're out there giving their take, and yeah, you know, down with Israel type of thing, like, but do you understand the conflict in the least? Do you understand the Sunnis and the Shiites and the land grab and all of the things that have taken place? No, I don't think you do. You cannot steel man the Israel side. You just know Israel's the bad guy in this situation, but you don't really know why. Well, they've taken the land. Like, okay, do you know why? Who's got an actual claim to this land? Not really.
Yeah.
And when it comes down to it, not really. They can't speak to the other side well at all. That's a dangerous thing. You are out there rioting, almost getting yourself arrested. In some cases, getting yourself arrested for what? For a side you don't even fully understand the conflict. These people weren't born when all this took place. 1948 or 49, when Israel came in as a nation. Like, I'm not saying you have to be 80 years old to protest. My point is, these people are so far removed from that. They know nothing of the conflict itself, but man, they're hot fire to get out there and say something about it. Like, you need to be able to know the other side. And most of the time when you can tell, you can speak to the other side, that's going to calm you down a little bit, because you can know, you can almost empathize with the other side and go, but this is where they're coming from. That right there might put the brakes on you going out there and just raging all over everybody because you realize the other side of it. So make sure you can steel man it.
Joe, you want to go ahead and get us into number five, and then I will kind of handle six and seven there.
Yeah, so number five is, idealism is not bad, but it must be met with realism. And that goes to the same point of the Israel-Palestine thing, whatever it is. Like, there's, idealism isn't wrong. Every young guy is idealistic. And you see the old guys, and I'll just go off on this for a second, all the old guys that are like, oh yeah, it's nice to be young and idealistic. It's like, no, we have guts. We're actually willing to say things that you're not willing to say anymore. And it's like, oh no, well, we're more realistic these days. It's
like, you're just lazy.
You're lazy. That's all is what it is. You're lazy, and then you parade it as though it's wisdom because you don't want to have to fight
That's
for the
a
hard
great
things.
Point. Yeah.
Drives me nuts. So idealism, I'm fine with it, but there is a certain level of realism,
need a dose of realism
on a lot of these things. So for instance, if I glue myself to the road for anti-oil, billions of dollars of oil are going to be sold the next day just because I glued myself to the road. Be realistic, okay? I understand if everybody has that thought that nobody's going to protest type of thing, but like, there are some protests that actually genuinely make a difference. That ain't one of them. You need to have some level of realism when you're starting to think about how the world operates and how the world functions. And you may hate these things, but if this is just the way the business is done, there's a lot of people that riot against or that hate capitalism, capitalistic greed. Like, yeah, there's ways that it's wrong, no doubt. It's also, it can be a really good thing. You got to be realistic in some ways. Without capitalism, we're not recording on these iPhones. We're not in this studio. We have nothing. Yeah. I don't have a house. Like, without capitalism, so be realistic in that. You may be very idealistic in saying this is wrong. There's crony capitalism, things like that is wrong. But we have to meet it with realism and say, yes, but there's good and bad on both sides. Yeah. So once again, there's nuance, the same as the last point with knowing the other side. There's nuance to these discussions that we have to be willing to wrestle with, to grapple with that level of realism as it pertains to a lot of these things. The BLM, yes, it's terrible that sometimes that seems to be the case, but you have to be realistic with the statistics. You have to go in and read the black-on-black crime, the black-on-white crime, and the white-on-black crime, and be willing to actually engage with the real-life statistics.
And not just what you read on social media.
Correct. Not just the ones Al Sharpton got out there and Jesse Jackson got out there to tell you to care about. Like, you actually need to be able to read the statistics and say, okay, what is what here? Are we going to get up in arms, just as much up in arms about this as we are about all the Chicago black-on-black crime? That's a tragedy. That's terrible. That's something that needs to be dealt with and needs to be fixed. And you know, we want people to be helped in that area. But that's not a talking point online, and so people aren't going to talk about it. You have to be willing to see the realistic side of things before you engage.
That's great. That's great. I don't have anything to add to that. I'm going to get some number
six.
Go
for it.
Don't use social activism to replace spiritual activism.
Yeah, great point.
This should be really basic, but I see it a good bit. Young people grow up in the church, and their level of passion for the church and for spiritual things, not really there.
Right.
But man, you get a social cause in front of them, and man, they are just so passionate all about it. Again, saving the turtles or women, you know, whatever it is. We've used all the examples. Please do not use social activism as your replacement for spiritual activism. Yep. Again, it's not wrong to be socially conscious and to be active in that way, just not at the expense of being a Christian. It's wrong to be more passionate about social causes than you are about Christ. And that's not we're not trying to Jesus juke you here and say, oh, you only need to care about evangelizing and door knocking. Like, absolutely not. But again, if you're somebody who man, your passion for making the church better or for serving other people or for studying your Bible, whatever it is, you know, kind of like, when I have time type of thing.
Right.
But you get a social cause in front of you and you are just, you know, pedal to the metal, like just all about it. That I'm sorry, that's out of balance, and that's not the way that it should be. And so, yeah, that don't use social activism to replace spiritual activism.
You have to ask, why do I care? Why do I care about this in the least? Why do you care about the Bible? I don't know. It's, you know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. There's a realistic view toward heaven when you care about these things, but also about how to have the best life on earth. We have eternal life now. It's a quality, not quantity. There's realistic, like, actual tangible ways that this makes a difference in your life right now. So should we care about scripture? Should we care about biblical things? No doubt. This is the way to have a good and healthy and long-lasting life that is great for everybody around you, great for yourself, great for the environment. We're glorifying God. Like, it's bigger than yourself. It ticks all the boxes. Like, yeah, it seriously checks all the boxes as you think about engaging with it. Okay, so let's say you get super excited about, I don't know, again, the Israel-Palestine, the ICE riots right now that are going on. Let's say you get super passionate. You need to step back and ask yourself, okay, why? Mm-hmm. Why am
what's
I this?
Driving this?
You know, yeah, what's driving this? That's going to bring us to number 7, I think. But, you know, there's reasons why you are really passionate about this that you need to wrestle with. You need to understand why this matters so much to you. And if you can't, then should you be supporting it to this level, to this degree? But one other point I'll say on this before I'll let you get us into number 7 is, when it comes to spiritual activism, one thing that drove me nuts is, like, Roe v. Wade was overturned. And you had a lot of Christians, actually, who were, hey, we need to make sure.
We shouldn't celebrate.
We need to make sure that we are appearing well to the world. I already talked about the Christian witness. That gets abused to death for
people. Yes, it does.
You know, so we got to be careful on how we use that one. But, like, because we don't want to offend those who were in the women's rights movement, we have to make sure we soft pedal the truth. We got to make sure we can't celebrate any win. Like,
there are a lot of people hurting.
Right. Exactly.
Like, I'm sorry. The people who want to kill their babies
are
hurting.
The people
that
are really bummed that they can't go out there and have unprotected sex and then kill what results of that, which is a God-given thing. Sorry. Bummer for you.
Yeah,
like,
right.
No, of course we're going to gloat in that one. And so, to me, like, we got to be careful on
this,
which is the, you know, as far as it goes with the spiritual activism, some people mix the social activism and spiritual activism, and you start letting that's where you start letting it win. The social activism is, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, I know there's a spiritual part, and that's great, but we'll kind of push that to the side. We want to make sure that we don't alienate these people. We want to make sure we show up for these really hurting people. Like, why are they hurting? If they're hurting legitimately, like, man, they've made a grave mistake, there's the grace of Christ. We are here to hug you big time. If you're hurting because you can't kill your kid, you're hurting because you can't, you know, a male can't have sex with another male.
Hurting because you can't, you know, chop off the genitals of an 11-year-old
anymore.
That's
exactly
like,
it.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm really hurting for you. No, I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm not. So this is the other piece of the Christian social or spiritual activist is that's where you'll see the social start to kind of take charge. You got to be careful of that one. But Will, go ahead and get us into number 7.
Number 7, as we look to wrap up. Generally speaking, you can do more good at home than you can out there.
Yeah.
Generally, Joe's got on here to look to support local causes. The point we're trying to get at is, man, it can be so easy to get all wrapped up in what's going on in LA or what's going on in Israel-Palestine or getting online and da-da-da-da. Generally, you can do a lot more good for the world the more you invest in the people that are close to you. And you might say, man, you just don't care about any social, you know, any social issues or social problems or social justice. And maybe there's an element of that, but I think it's also the idea of, like, sorry, I would rather you as a godly young man, if you had to choose one, invest in your family, invest your time in your kids, invest time in your church. If you've got really close friendships, invest in those. People always want to make a difference in the world through these social causes. And again, I'm not trying to look down on that. There can be a lot of good that's done. But generally, you can do a lot more good closer to home than you can out there, if that makes sense.
Is it the Gandhi? Somebody. You know, everybody wants to change the world, but nobody wants to change themselves, basically.
Yeah.
I was mixing with a My Chemical Romance quote. Everybody wants to change the world, no one wants to die, I think is in one of their songs. But Jordan Peterson got famous. He got famous for a lot of reasons. But one of the biggest quotes that he had was, clean your room first before you go to try to change the world. Like, you need to work on your own room. Work on your own space. Work on... It's the people that want to go out there and... Even Christian things, we're going to take on the porn industry while you have a raging porn addiction. Like, work on one first, and then we'll get to this one. It doesn't mean that, like, because the statement might be made, well, then nothing ever is ever going to get done around the world. Because if everybody's waiting to just be perfect personally, then they're never going to. That's not the point we're trying to make. You don't need to be perfect, but you do need to be thinking, way more. You need to have your family solve it. It's the same concept as a preacher who goes out and tries to save the entire world around him while his family's falling away. He loses his kids. No. You start small. You start hyper local, which is yourself. It's your wife. It's your kids. You make sure all of those are in line, that everybody's feeling loved. They're feeling, they're feeling, very spiritual, and we're really working on it. Then you move to your friends. Then you move to your church. Then you move to your, extended family, your neighborhood, your community. We want to get involved in those things, because how much am I going to make a difference around the world? Maybe through podcasts and social media these days. Maybe, like I said, slacktivism is kind of a thing. But if you get on YouTube and get a huge following, maybe you change things, and that's great. On the other hand, how much more does it matter if I get involved in White Bluff, my little local community here in Tennessee? If I get involved there and I look to make a difference and I'm helping people, that is like a tangible difference we can make. Whereas even the things like, I'm not against people sending $50 to Uganda or whatever it may be. I'm sure that's great too. I'm certainly not against that. But we could also really help here, as long as people do it. That's the one thing. It's like, oh yeah, I'd look to save my money here. Okay, make sure you're actually spending your money here if that's going to be the case. But it's the same thing as shopping local. I'm getting more off of the, I still go to Walmart and such, but like, if I can shop local, if I can go to the local farmer's market, I will, because I want to support those that are closest to me. And the same concept here for social activism is support those that are closest to you. You're going to be a lot more blessed for that. You're going to feel a lot more fulfilled. If I go and make a difference in China and I never know about it, that's great. But like, there's a real tangible, like, immediate return type thing of being able to help those closest to you, to see my kids grow, to be invested in their lives. I don't want to be so caught up in some downtown Nashville thing or halfway across the world thing trying to work on that while I'm failing to pay attention to my wife and kids. Yeah. So just make sure you get your priorities right and stay local.
That's what we've got for you. There's a lot here. You might be listening to this and like, I don't care about any of that. We think the points are still valuable. Or you might be listening to this going, yeah, I've really been thinking about getting involved in some of this stuff. These are our general pieces of advice. Again, we're not saying we have all the answers, but there are certain things on here. Again, like, if your cause is antithetical to the Christian worldview, you just can't support that. Do it in a Christian way. Don't be a slacktivist. That's not legitimate. Know the other side really well. You can be idealistic, but also have a dose of realism. Don't replace social activism with spiritual activism. And then generally, you're going to be able to do more good at home than you are out there in the world. Those are our thoughts. If you've got something to add, let us know in the Discord, of course. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this. I do think it's interesting how much of a young person thing this kind of is. I'm curious to see what everybody thinks about this. But any other thoughts before we wrap up?
Nope.
This has been episode 126 of the Godly Young Men podcast. Thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll be back next week.